Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, indeed, you are once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr. And yes, we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, as usual, I'm asking all the listeners, especially the first-time listeners on tonight, please get your Bibles, get your pencil and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the person of Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. For those of you that tuned in faithfully, you know Deacon Marvin Cox always shares with us an inspirational poem first before he delivers God's word. Again, he's going to be delivering God's word very shortly on tonight once again. So get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray with me at this time because we do serve an awesome God. He can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve on tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, it is in his name we come once again on tonight to give you glory, to give you honor and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know without a doubt that you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that you're not like man. We thank you that you don't slumber, you don't sleep. You have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. Heavenly Father, you are the Most High God. You are the great I Am. You are everything that we need, Heavenly Father. We thank you that there's nothing too hard or impossible for you to do. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus Christ asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, my guests on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, and his entire family. Continue to not only us, but all those that are being faithful doers of your word all over the land. And Father, we thank you that you know who we are and you know where we are. So we ask you to continue to forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that we all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for the precious blood, his blood, that was shed on the cross for our sins and remission, that we can be redeemed back to you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and by us opening our mouth and asking to be forgiven of our sins and our transgressions, that we can ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into our hearts and clean us up so that we can be restored and back in good standing and relationship with you as our Heavenly Father and Creator. So now, Lord, we ask that you would continue to move by your Spirit on tonight as your word goes forth. Heavenly Father, should there be any listener on tonight that is not saved, in Jesus' name, it's our prayer, our hope, and desire that something will be said through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, on tonight that will prick their hearts, even on tonight, that they will open their own mouth to confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them on tonight. Heavenly Father, they will come to know that God's purpose in the earth and fulfill it for your glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We know we don't deserve it, but we thank you for them in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you will continue to comfort and strengthen the bereaved all over the land, as only you can, in the name of Jesus. Let them feel your presence, your joy, your peace. Let them feel your love, Heavenly Father, even as they are experiencing bereavement at this hour and at this time all over the land. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We also thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders throughout the land. Touch, heal, and deliver, and strengthen your people all over the land that are sick in their bodies and spirits and minds all over the land, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. So help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us for your glory, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless our world leaders. Continue to bless and strengthen and have mercy upon all those that we're duty bound and pray for, and those that are less fortunate. Have your way on tonight, for your glory is our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we know that God is worthy to be praised. We know that in all that we do, we ought to always give God thanks and give him praise and reverence for who he is. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that there is none like you. Thank you that you have a perfect track record. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that you're not like man. You cannot lie, fail, nor change, and you don't slumber nor sleep. We thank you that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. So as we're ready to go to our music break, I pray that you enjoy this music break, total praise. Why? Because God is truly worthy to be praised no matter what we're going through in this life, no matter what it looks like. We know that he deserves total praise because of who he is. So, again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready. Following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem, and he's going to go directly into God's word on tonight. Enjoy the music break.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Total praise. God, our Heavenly Father, deserves our total praise. Why? He is worthy to be praised. There is no God like our God. So once again, I'm so excited to have once again on the air on tonight to bring forth another word from the Lord. It's none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem, and he's going to go directly into God's word. So I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with him as we go through God's word together on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I'll now yield the mic to you.
Okay, I thank you once again, Brother Brown. I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity once again to bring forth his word. You always hear me say this, that this is an awesome, awesome responsibility as well as an awesome privilege to be able to bring to God's people his word, that I think somebody lowly like me to bring forth his word. I'm privileged to be able to do so. Now, once again, the Lord has provided us with a wonderful lesson. Brother Brown, did you give us the food for thought for today, or?
You know what, Deacon Marvin, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it just as you said it. I'm looking at it right now, and I did not do that, but I thank you for reminding me, and I'm going to give that out right now to the listeners. We always have a scripture food for thought. Again, thank you, David Mark and Marvin Cox, for reminding me regarding that. Tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, God is always listening for sinners' prayers. Aren't you grateful for that on tonight? Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought. God, our Heavenly Father and our Creator, God is always listening for sinners' prayers. And I do want to let you all know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Now I yield the mic back to you, Deacon Marvin Cox.
Okay, thank you. I knew that something was missing, so I thank the Lord for that. And to show you how good God is, the message that Brother Brown just brought forth is in the poem that the Lord gave me to give to you. And I know that it could be nobody but the Lord that can work things out to give a perfect segue into what is about to be brought forth. Now, the poem for tonight is Living in a Dark World. Living in a dark world, unable to see the light. Doing sinful things, roaming the streets at night. A victim of society, best friends with toil and strife. Trying to get this monkey off my back, searching for a better life. When the taskmaster calls, it's best that you obey. You don't want to live like this, but there must be a better way. To meet this awesome need, you'll sacrifice your precious treasures for just a few minutes of fleshly pleasures. It wasn't supposed to be like this. I was once a favorite child. There are some things out there that can drive anybody wild. Living in a dark world, someone stopped me on the street one day. They said, I know about your situation. Do you mind if we pray? At first I started to reject it, then I said I might as well. The prayer warrior said to me, you have a story to tell. The first thing that they did was recognize God's holy son. Then they asked for forgiveness for the wrong that I have done. They gave an invitation to the Lord for him to have his way. Before I knew it, I began to pray. I said, Father, please forgive me for the wrong that I have done. No therapist can deliver me. You are the only one. I got lost along the way and didn't know what to do. From this day forward, I will give my life to you. Open my eyes. The fog in my head had cleared. I looked for my prayer warrior. He had disappeared. I no longer live in a dark world. My days are also bright. The Lord touched me in a special way, and now I see light. And I thank you for that, Brother Brown, because this was about the Lord hearing a sinner's prayer. And it seems like you and I collaborate on that, but we didn't. And I just thank the Lord for confirming to me the message that was brought forth tonight. Now, I read to you from Philippians, the second chapter, 14:16 verse, King James Version, and it reads, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Now, if we were to choose a topic for tonight, that topic would be "Come into the Light." And it's an invitation for each and every last one of us, because we're not supposed to live in a dark world. And see, if you notice, invitation is what you would consider a very polite request for you to come someplace. I mean, in the Bible, they have several words for that. They have adjure thee. It's an urgent plea that's going out. And see, when you adjure someone, you bring it forth, an urgent plea. Also, when you beseech someone, it's the same. You just are urging them. It's a great urgency that this happen. Now, one thing about the Lord and his word, he will not compel you to do anything. And see, we know that compel is a word that is used when you're casting out demons. You're ordering. See, the Lord is not going to order us to do anything. He's going to ask us very, very quietly, very politely, without force, because he never want to take that choice out of our hands. He never want to force us to do something against not his will, but against our will. We have to voluntarily come into his services so that we can get the full benefits of it. Oh, excuse me, I just read to you from Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 14 through 16. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, doing of his word and his will, and may edify our souls forever. Amen. Brother Brown, I guess I'm kind of excited about tonight's lesson, too. You know, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. And so, as I was saying, this invitation that the Lord has given each and every last one of us to come into the light. And we know that we go to the first chapter of Genesis. We know in the third verse of the first chapter, the Lord said, "Let there be light." And so we know that this light is very important, because see, when you live in a dark world, we need some illumination. We need to be able to see our way through. And now I'm going to go. Hope you got your pens ready, as Brother Brown said. St. John is chapter the 12th verse, and then it reads, "And then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So isn't that a wonderful, another wonderful invitation to come into the light? There's nothing out there and the darkness but death and destruction. So many scriptures in the Bible that is speaking of light and speaking of how the light illuminates, how it is a lamp unto our feet, how it will shine into that darkness, and the darkness will not even understand it. The darkness will not, I said, it comprehended it not. So if I had a choice, I would want to come into that light. And you, my sisters and brothers, there's no reason for us to live in darkness. Why? Because whether we know it or not, during this time, we have become, and we are, but we're not exercising in the way in which the Lord wants us to do. We are right now, we are the hope of the world. Now, you might say that's an awesome responsibility to put on one shoulder, but I beg to differ. If we all together come together in one Christian band of love, it's not anything that we can't do. He said that if two can put 10,000 to flight, just imagine if it's 22 or 202 or 2 million and 2 people all come together with the same mindset, how we'll be able to turn this situation around. And so that was John 1:5-7. It said, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends not. There was a man from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him shall believe. So right now, the Lord is calling each and every last one of us to come forth and to witness for him, to let people know that regardless of how the situation in society might be, that there is a hope. Because, I mean, we've had some dark days, if you think about it. But see, those dark days, see, that dark, as Brother Brown has mentioned it so many times, that nighttime, it represents death. It represents destruction. And we've had a lot of death. We had a lot of destruction of families because of this pandemic that's going on. But my brothers, my sisters, I'm here to encourage you and not to discourage you. For those that are left, it's a way out, and that is to come into light this evening. Now will be a good time. If you're not convinced, just look around you, because I can't speak for you, but lately the most hopeless and helpless feeling has been gripping a lot of people. They have called me and say, I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know how to cope with this situation. Why? Because they took away my freedom. They have restricted me. They don't want me to go outside. I can't stretch my legs. You know, these kids are getting on my nerves. So there is hope. But we have to come into that light. We have to accept that invitation that the Lord has given us to come to that light, to be witness of that light. And how we be a witness of that light? First of all, we have to be optimistic, because there's nothing in the world worse to me than a pessimistic. Now, Brother Thomas, he was not pessimistic, but he just wanted to know. You see, it's a difference in bringing forth gloom and doom than it is in just wanting to know. So he was a person that you just had to convince. So the pessimism comes when an individual just looking at things on a negative plane. But we all have curiosities in our life, that we're just not convinced when somebody tells us something, you know. And I know that when it comes down to, you know, prove it to me, it's not that I don't believe you, but sometimes an individual has been disappointed. You know, they say Missouri is the show me state. And I used to say that to myself, say, okay, the show me state. And then I found out, because my wife is from Missouri, and I found out through being with her, it's not that she didn't believe me, but sometimes when you get disappointed in some things, then guess what? Don't tell me, show me. So this is why we got to be. We got to allow the Lord to step into our life and follow him so that he could show us. Now, we're going over here to John, Matthew 5:16. And it just lets them know that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So if you're letting your light shine, then guess what? There's nothing dull about you. There's nothing that, you know, you are a beacon. You are illuminating. You can be that signal, that lighthouse in that storm that ship focuses in on to make it safely to shore. You can be that vessel. As I was telling you earlier, we are the hope of the world. Right now, if we get together, but see, society has it right now that they're not allowing, if you notice what I'm saying, that they're not allowing people to assemble themselves in the same building. But it's ways of getting around that. I know a lot of churches have incorporated some very creative methods of assembling their people together. They're live streaming. They're doing the teleconference. They're doing so many different things. But I hope that when this situation is over, they don't continue those things. Now, you could continue those things when someone, like, is in the nursing home or someone is an invalid or something, cannot get out. Those things are good. Reach the people who are unable to physically attend themselves in the house of prayer. So why would God first say, forsake not to assemble yourselves in the house of prayer? It's a purpose for that. It's a place for that worship where we all come together and the fellowship. Okay? Now we're going to move over to Isaiah 14, 42 and 16. It says, I will bring the blind by way that they may not, that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them. Okay. Now, it says, I will bring mine by way that they knew not. Now, we're not going to say, we're going to put it this way, a sightless person. Because you could have 20/20 vision and still be blind to what the Lord is telling you. And see, these are people right here that, you know, blind is used basically as a metaphor in some cases, because there are some people that are born sightless. But even those people have the visions in their mind of what it is that the Lord will have them to do. But Isaiah is saying, and I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things to. So, okay, let's have a graduation party right fast. And we're going to graduate from Isaiah to the Lord. Now, imagine the Lord saying those same things, that I will make, yeah, I will give sight to the blind. I will make things straight for them. I will introduce them to things that they have never seen before. I will open their eyes so that they can see the reality of serving a true and the living God. I will do these things. So we have opportunity after opportunity to do what? To come into the light. There's no reason right now for any one of us to be living in a dark world and unable to see the light. See, Isaiah, if you look at him, he was basically living in a dark world. Why? Because he couldn't see the light until the king died. There's a lot of people that are allowing a lot of things to block them from seeing the light. But if we go back to John and say, who was the forerunner of Christ, it said, the light shined into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So, see, the light can look into your life. It could see into your life. It could brighten up those dark corners. Because if you notice, how many people trip over furniture in the daytime? Not many. Why? Because their way is illuminated. But in the nighttime, you got to be careful. You have to, even if you got a nightlight, when your house is not fully bright, but if you got a nightlight on, you got to be careful, because it could be something that you left on the floor that you could trip over. So we have to be mindful to come into the light. There's life waiting for you in that light. There's joy waiting for you in that light. There's peace waiting for you in that light. There's tranquility waiting for you in that light. Because Jesus said that he is the light of the world. And let your light so shine that men shall see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. So the semblance of spirituality that you have in you, it brightens up. It draws people to you. If you notice, even in the darkness of time, if you go out camping, if you light a fire, you notice the mosquitoes, the bears, all of the things are what? Attracted to that light. Light attracts a whole lot of things. Light is the source. There's safety in the light. Because if they men are they evil, they do things in the darkness. They do things up under the cover of darkness. So we have to be careful. I mean, and those that have a record of doing things, they call them night owls. But one thing about it, if you think about an owl, owl got the best vision in the forest in the nighttime because it's specifically designed to see those things. But see your pupils, your retinas, and they're not designed to focus completely. Now you can see a lot of things, but in a dark room, you can't even see your hand and your face. If you live in the country, some of those dark, cloudy nights with no moon or no stars in the skies and the blue echoes, you just barely can see your hand in front of your face. So I'm just saying, now it would be a good time to come into the light. See, one thing about coming to the light requires a commitment on your part. It requires you to, as we said last week, to drop all that you have and follow the Lord. It requires that you make that sacrifice, that you say to yourself, I don't want to live like this no more. I'm tired. I'm going to submit myself to higher authority so that when that time comes, so that he will protect me. Because even the biggest bully is somebody out there that can bully the biggest bully. But God will protect you. The Lord will lead you and guide you into all truth. Why? Because he is that light. And if you notice, even during the nighttime, have you ever been on the road and you happen to get stopped by members of our local constabulary, get stopped by the police? What they do, they put the brightest lights on you and the brightest lights on your mirror, and they can see you, but you can't see them. See, light blinds. And that's why we cannot look upon the face of the Lord. That's why we cannot look at the sun. Because what will it do? Those ultraviolet rays will blind you. That's why we cannot look upon the countenance of the Lord. Now, when you hear people say they saw the Lord, whatever, they most of the time have a vision of his feet, because to look at him directly will make the flesh leave your bones. So that's an awesome sight right there. But see, we know. I'm talking about now, but in the day that the disciples walked with him and the day that they talked with him, but I'm talking about since he has risen to his Father. Right now, we just see only images of him. That's why they give different descriptions of who he is. So if I was you, I would consider coming into the light. As I say, I cannot compel you, because that's a different department right there. But I can beseech, I can adjure, I can make a very polite request, because all of these are the things that is done decent in order. But when you tell somebody, you give them an ultimatum and say, you better do this or you better do that, people do not like ultimatums. Why? Because they will reject them. But if you just say, okay, look, I'll tell you what, it's in your best interest, which the Lord is telling us comfortably, it's in your best interest that you come on into the house. It's in your best interest that you leave somebody else's wife alone. It's in your best interest that you take some glue off of your fingers of yours. Now, that's a very polite way of saying, you know, quit lying, quit committing adultery, behave yourself. But sometimes the more forceful we are, the more rebellious people become. Because if you were to describe the Lord, you would say to yourself that of all the things that he is, he's a gentleman. Does not, I mean, he can be terrible when the time is right, when he's come back and he brings his wrath with him. He's not going to be that gentleman that we have become accustomed to being around. He's not going to be that gentleman that never said a mumbling word in his own defense. He's not going to be that. He's not coming back no more as Mary's baby. He's coming back as a warrior and as a conqueror. So why would you, why that opportunity is here for you to come into the light, for you to get to know him as your personal savior? Now is the time, and I'm not trying to bring you a message of gloom and doom, because we all know what it is that we have to do. But I'm just saying that it's a better way than to live in fear like we're doing right now. It's a better way to have the uncertainty that's going on now and, you know, that's causing a worldwide panic. It's a better way. And that better way is to know, to understand, and to follow the Lord. Because it says what he will do, he will lead and guide us unto all truth. Not some, not most, but all. It says when you know the truth, then it's easy to accept the truth than for somebody to falsify something and mislead you or misguide you in a way in which you don't understand it. I'd rather for somebody to tell me the truth. And then that way, whatever adjustments I need to make, I can make. But see, sometimes lies give us false hope. And now is not the time for us to have false hope. Now we're going to move over to Isaiah, the 8th chapter, 14th verse. They read, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy help shall be spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now, what I've got to say to this, and this is also to encourage everybody, is that God has your back. God has your front and he has your back. And now would be a good time to realize that. I want to read that to you very slowly. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And thy health shall be spring forth speedily. So we're going to be in good health. We're going to, you see, the morning, you can't stop the morning from coming. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So, my brothers and my sisters, I don't know what it's telling you, but it's telling me that these right here will be the fruits of your labor. It says, the Lord. The Lord. It didn't say money. It didn't say houses on the hill. It didn't say extravagant things. It said good health shall spring forth speedily. So those old crooked bones and those old aching bodies, we're going to recover from that. And the Lord shall be your reward, thy reward. So we break that down. That's a personal thing right there. That's a very personal thing, that my reward, well, I could say ours, I could say yours, but you have to forgive me if I just break that down. It's going to be my reward. It's going to be your reward. It's going to be his reward. It's going to be their reward according to the deed that's done in this body. So don't miss that opportunity to come into the light. Leave that dark world behind, because whether we know it or not, each and every last one of us at one time or another have lived in that dark world, and we were not able to see the light. For a lot of us that did such things, unable to see that light, unable to decipher whether what we was doing was going to be beneficial to our soul salvation. Just doing it, pursuing one thing, the lust of our flesh. And see, if we're motivated by the lust of the flesh, see, that flesh don't care nothing. That flesh just wants that self-gratification right now. Or how do you say, better quicker than ASAP. Immediately, if not sooner. That's how that flesh want to be gratified. It don't want to be. It want to be gratified. It want to be satisfied. It don't want to wait. You know, when we get into those frame of mind, we want what we want when we want it. And if there's any delay in us securing it, then guess what? We don't want it. My flesh wanted it then. But sometimes we have to deny the flesh. Sometimes we have to do without. Sometimes we have to make that sacrifice. But that light is waiting. That light is beckoning. That light is life. That light is love. So if these things are missing in your life, then that invitation that was extended to each and every last one of us at the beginning of this lesson, it would be a good time to go forth. It would be a good time to submit. But see, sometimes we just don't, we don't feel that we should. We're too good to submit. We're too good to go to our brother after we'd cussed him out and say, you know what, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what came over me. But I sincerely apologize. You don't have to worry about me doing that no more. Because, see, to apologize, it's submitting. To ask for forgiveness, it's submitting. To refrain from doing something, it's submitting. And, see, when you're submissive, you're not giving up anything. The only thing you're just giving up is your arrogant attitude, your distrustful ways, your prideful ways. That's all this door says. No, I'm not going to allow my pride, because pride will speak for you. And pride will puff you up. Pride will have you at the point where you defy everything. Why? Because it hurt my feelings. But I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, your feelings are going to be hurt somewhere along the line. Somebody's going to say something disagreeable to you that's going to, make you be like Peter, make you want to cut him. Or, excuse me, make you cut him. See, Peter didn't want to. He did. But a lot of things, and it's the Lord that stepped in, especially when those people get on under us to the point that we say to ourselves, well, I started to do such and such and such a thing. But the Lord told us it's a time and a place for everything. Don't do this. So when we put ourselves into that position and we allow the Lord to work with us, or we allow, because most of the things that we do that's sinful, I do believe that we tell people because we want them to talk us out of doing it. It's something else if I was to go to one of my friends and I tell them that, my neighbor's wife been winking at me. And he said, okay, man, go for it. And he know that I'm married, too. I would be wanting that joke and say, man, is you a fool? What's wrong with you? Do you have an idea of what that would do to your marriage and to your family? But see, sometimes we go to people and they encourage us to do wrong. They encourage us. But as I say, I was going to that friend because I needed to hear him say, you better back up off of that. What's wrong with you? Move to North Carolina. Leave that alone. Don't touch that. That don't belong to you. And sometimes when people tell us that, we might not want to hear it because all of us want to be encouraged in some way or another, but subconsciously and spiritually, we need for people at that time in our life when we're on the verge of doing something we ain't got no business doing. We need people. to tell us to do something. We need people to tell us, hey, you better walk into that light. We need people to say, hey, look, you got a story to tell. We need people to say, Lord, forgive them for the wrong that he's done or the wrong that they're thinking about doing. Because God's word says, so thinks of a man in his heart, then so is he. So I think it was President Jimmy Carter back in the 70s when he said that he had sinned in his mind because he lusted after somebody. But let's not get it twisted. Some people would do that, and then they say, okay, well, since I sinned, I might as well follow through on it. No, because it's almost impossible. I don't care who you are. To block impure thoughts from entering into your mind. And you might be sitting up and you say, whoa, where did that come from? But see, that just opens up opportunity to pray. Now we're going to go over here to Luke. There's the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when that eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. When that eye is evil, the body is full of darkness. And see, evil is a multiplicity of things. But see, if you have that singleness, you say that the eye is single. And when it's single, that means that it's just focused on one thing and one thing only. But see, the distractions in life will bring about that evilness that will cause, and that body is full of darkness. I just wondering how you could focus on one thing and you'd be all right, but then you once you get distracted, then you're not all right. And we know about so many different things. We know about distracted driving, people texting on the telephone while they're driving. We know about distracted walking, where people doing the same thing and walking in the poles and walking in the doors. And all of these distractions are designed for one thing, that's to take your mind and your focus off of what it is that you need to be doing. So we got to have that singleness of purpose, that singleness of mind to be able to do what the Lord has us to do. All right, and then we're going to move right along. And this is to remind you and tell you why we should come into the light. Because over in Thessalonians, Brother Paul is telling us, we are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So, if I'm the children of the light, then that means my daddy's light. That means my mom. And the children of the day. So, for the only time, a bright disposition when it comes down to different matters. We are not of the night, nor of God. And my brother-in-law and I, we discuss this all the time. And, you know, we live in Detroit. And not only restricted to Detroit. We look at all the things that's going on, you know, with any problems that any big city would have. And sometimes we just about compare notes. We see that there was a fire here, accident there, a murder here. And guess what? All these things, I mean, they happen in the daytime, don't get me wrong. But most of the negative statistics that happen in this city, it goes on between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning. The first thing we say, the first thing my wife might say, oh, what are they doing out in the first place like that? And they wasn't going to no job. Wife would call me and they love the dog. They beat us in the dog. So, ye are children of the light. So, if you are children of the light, then what's stopping you from coming into them? I don't see no reason why we shouldn't. So I'm making that invitation to you. And the good thing about that is that there are churches on every corner. They convert everything. But see, don't look at the edifice. Don't look at the building. Don't look at the ornate chandeliers that they might have hanging from the ceiling. just look at the contents of the house. Look at the people that are going there. Because God's word said, wherever two or three of my believing children assemble, touching and agreeing, I'll be a God in their midst. So it does not matter. You can have church service on a bus in the doctor's office. You can have it, okay, at the home for funerals. It's not restricted to that particular building. So we're going over here to 1 Peter 2 and 9. It says, but you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the presence of him who has called you out of darkness. Wait a minute. And to his marvelous light. So wait a minute. He comes to say that I was called out of darkness. Just like that stranger that stopped that person in the pond one day, say, hey, I know about your situation. And then suddenly disappeared. Now, that was a revelation. You were called. But the answer is, did you respond? Because if you notice, most children at a certain age, what they have to do? You have to sneak into the room at night after they go to sleep and turn off the light. Not like Teddy Pendergrass and the like that. You got to turn off the light. Because they will not sleep in a dark room. Why? Because children, a lot of children are scared of the dark. But you are peculiar people. And see, and that's not in a derogatory way. That's in like a good way. You know, and peculiar means, you know, unusual. And the reason it says unusual is because most of the time when somebody offends somebody, first thing they want to do is take that person's head off, or they want to do some harm to that person. But isn't it peculiar or unusual for somebody to do you wrong and you say, look, I forgive you. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm just going to turn it over to the Lord. Because, see, you know, in the neighborhood where I come from, if that scenario happened, first thing people say, you mean to tell me you're going to let that individual punk you out? What, no retaliation, no retribution? But see, when you're peculiar, you're unusual, you do things that people don't think that you're going to do. And look how they smite at the Lord, and he just turned the other cheek. But nobody, at that time, nobody questioned his manhood. So you have to come into the light. I say it's an invitation there. We're going to move over to John 1 and 9. I say that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So each and every last one of us have a light in us. But the word said, don't put your light, don't put your candle upon the basket, and because that way it won't show nothing. But every man. So when you come, it said when you come into this world. Now, I didn't say nothing about when you leave out. So how you make your light shine, how you take care of your light, how you preserve it, and so forth and on, that's up to you. But right now, with all the things that's going on in the world, it'd be a perfect opportunity to come to the light. It'd be a perfect opportunity to submit yourself. And you won't lose nothing. I ain't gonna promise you that. Yeah, I could promise you that you're not gonna lose nothing except for the things that will cause you to be hellbound. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm trying my best to shake those things loose from my garment because they avail me nothing. So, thank you, Lord. Brother Jones, and I especially thank you that took time off from the busy schedules tonight to listen to what the Lord will have us to do. And that's telling me, too, because whoever you are, you could be a preacher and been preaching for 40 years, but it's still time to come into the light. Well, the Lord told me, I know about your good works, but I still got something against you. Told some of you work, but you worked iniquity. So those little dark corners of my life, it's time for us to clean them up. The only way that we could clean them up and see what's going on, that's when we come into the light. So time flew by, Brother Brown. We might have to do number two on this Saturday coming up. But message for tonight, come into the light. We should no longer live on God's word until we see what's going on. So I'm going to turn you over to the other hands of Brother Brown. May God bless you and may heaven keep you.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, thank you for sharing with us another awesome word from the Lord on tonight, another powerful, much-needed word on tonight for such a time as this that we're living in and experiencing right now. And I do touch and agree with you on tonight that, yes, I do look forward to this coming Saturday. You're doing part two of this message that you just did on tonight for tonight's ministry. Come into the light. Yes, so we're looking forward to this coming Saturday here in part two of your message of come to the light. So I thank God for you, Deacon Marvin Cox, and I pray that something has been said through this word on tonight that is encouraging to every listener on tonight. And also I want to remind the listeners that tuned in after the beginning of tonight's broadcast when I did tonight's spiritual food for thought. We always do a spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food almost ties in with tonight. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, God is always listening for sinners' prayers. Aren't you glad on tonight that God is the type of God that he's always listening for sinners' prayers? We have some pastors, some people that's in the body of Christ. They don't want to hear a sinner's prayer, but God is awesome God. And he loves us so much, mankind, that he is always listening for a sinner's prayer. So if you're not saved on tonight, you open your mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins, your transgressions, and then you open your mouth and ask him to come into your heart and save you on tonight, because that's his desire, is to save you. It's not God's desire that any souls be lost. So you have an opportunity, even on tonight, just like Deacon Marvin Cox said in his message on tonight, and I concur, that God is a gentleman. He does not force himself on anyone. It's a choice that we have to make, to either to receive him in his word or not, or receive his son or not. So the choice is yours. The choice is mine. And I chose to believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you believing on tonight? So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox, and you thank you for the listeners that faithfully tunes in to this ministry and worldwide platform. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Please do remember to tune in this coming Saturday night, Saturday, May 9th, for part two of this message from Deacon Marvin Cox, Come Into the Light. And he's also going to share with us another inspirational poem before he delivers God's word, part two, Come Into the Light. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, to give you honor and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you don't slumber and you don't sleep. Your eyes are in every place, and you have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. We thank you that you're not like man. You are a faithful God. You have a perfect track record. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that grace and mercy is in your hands, even your sufficient grace toward us, even in spite of ourselves. So now, Lord, we bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. In the midst of what everything that we are experiencing in the world today, you are still worthy to be praised because there is none like you. You are the Most High God. You are an awesome God. We love you. We bless your name on tonight. We ask that you will continue to bless each listener. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts as our prayer in Jesus' name. I continue to lift up my pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings, and my church family, Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church family. And also, I want to extend greetings to Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. and his wife, First Lady Helen Tillman, where I am the full-time musician at the Morning Star Baptist Church, and also a shout-out to the Morning Star Baptist Church family and every faithful doer of God's word all over the land. You heard the word on tonight. Come into the light that men may see your good works and they will give God the glory for the work that you are doing and the work that God has anointed you to do. for such a time as this. We are going to close out in prayer again on tonight. And we ask our listeners to please pray with us because, again, we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Eternal God, we thank you again for who you are. We bless your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you that you are faithful, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you cannot lie, fail, nor change. You are not like man. Heavenly Father, you are committed to standing on your word. You are a promise keeper. So we bless your name on tonight, and we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless and strengthen Deacon Marvin Cox as you continue to teach and lead and guide your people through your word and through sharing inspirational poems, that you would be glorified through him, and that every listener will be blessed as he continues to be used by you. Not only him, but every man, woman, boy, or girl that comes forth over this worldwide platform delivering your word, the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray, that you would, Lord, that you will continue to bless them and grant them the desires of their hearts. And not only them, but the worldwide listeners all over the land. We thank you for this worldwide ministry and platform that it is growing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And I don't take any credit for it, but I give you the glory for it because it is you who have opened this door and this worldwide ministry to your people, that souls are being saved, backsliders are coming back to the fold, that the body of Christ is being built up and strengthened and edified through your word, through your people over this worldwide platform. And for this, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until this coming Saturday, you want to tune in and be blessed by Deacon Marvin Cox again for part two of his message, Come Into the Light. Until this Saturday, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night. Oh,